Hare Krishna to all the devotees. Thank you for joining us. Hare Krishna to His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Puri Maharaj, who will be speaking to us today from Bhaktivedanta Academy, and he'll be speaking to us about developing a community. Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances.
Hare Krishna. Anytime. So we can go, we start?
Yes,
Okay.
please.
So then we're talking about community. Then we have here goal of community. So naturally the goal's not going to be any different than any other aspect of the, Lord Chaitanya's movement. As we mentioned, the goal is going to be to develop love for Radha and Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's going to be the goal. And so then that'll be done through the process of bhakti, where understanding our position, our relationship, then we engage in devotional activities to please Krishna. And then there to apply that, then you have so many areas that can be applied in. So community is one of them. A temple is one. You have a restaurant. You may have the Sankirtan, and then you have so many varieties of Sankirtan, and you have education, so many varieties of education. You can have goshalas and, all these different standard things that the acharyas, and Srila Prabhupada have given us, for engaging ourselves in devotional service. Even the varnashram is an aspect that we use like that. So in community, then of course varnashram becomes very prominent because of the aspect of you're engaging it's an further extension of engaging, the body, mind, and words than just that would be necessarily there in, let's say, just temple life. If one was in the temple, full time in the temple, and that's all one did. Because that will be, basically more pancharatrik based, in that you're going to have that means the structure of it. The actual basis, of course, is always Bhagavad, about chanting the holy name. But the structure that one would have, then, your regulation of the temple program according to Pancharatra, the getting up, going to the temple, Mangal Arati, the worship of the deity, chanting Japa, Darshanarti, Bhagavatam class, Prasad, then the daily services at the temple, then whatever there is in the evening program. So it'd be set by that. And so if one is comfortable with all that, then that works very nicely. But as we expand, because the point is everybody can't live in the temple. So unless you have some special kind of, mantra that you can shrink everyone down so that the whole of Riga can fit inside the temple there, then you have to be able to expand so that people, that individuals can stay as part of the community. But then when you're doing that, now you're adding in more seriously the varnashram considerations. It's not that in the Pancharatrik that you're not considering those things. It's just like, someone who has the ability to manage would be involved in that. Someone who knows accounts does that. Someone cooking does that. These things are there. But it's not your occupation as such, and that's what maintains you. That you're doing service for the deities full time. That's what's taking care of you. But when community, then you have to see is that people expect you to perform an activity, like what nowadays we call some work or an occupation or a job. And that's how you generate your funds, your money. And then from that, you're able to maintain whatever facilities you have. So the temple will be taking care of all those things, and people will be doing things to collect the money and do things and other things like that. But it's all the temple's things. But here is that you have to go out and do it yourself, get your money, maintain your house or wherever you're staying, maintain the family and create all those facilities and everything that would be there. So all that in itself then requires further extension of the Vedic rules beyond the Pancharatrik. So that's where you can say your community or the Dharma Shastra comes in the way of Varnashram. Is that then it has to be, the structure of it has to be more clear and more aware. While in the temple, it's not as clear because it means you're family persons and not, that's fairly obvious. But the point is that the brahmacharis are living in the temple, the grihasthas are living in the temple, the vanaprasthas, the sannyasis, everybody's staying in the facility there. So you know, it's not, it's basically just some, you know, the differences in ashram is simply what makes what goes on there. But then when you expand beyond that, then the aspects of the varnas have to be considered, because then that's how you're going to maintain yourself. But otherwise, the lifestyle you would live in the temple basically is the same lifestyle, the same pancharatric lifestyle you'd be used to. But if you're bringing an occupation, now you're extending the varna ashram considerations to consider the varna. Otherwise, it's just, you're just dealing with ashram. You know, and in the temple, then everybody's engaged in service to the deities and all that. So it has that fundamental aspect of Brahminical culture there. And so that it doesn't, by adding in those occupational aspects of services that you're doing for the deities, it doesn't have to go beyond the Brahminical considerations. So the Brahman, Varna, and the ashrams, you can say, are all Brahminical. So then, Kshatriya, then you have to have certain considerations there, Vaishya considerations there, Shudra's there. But they're not in opposition to devotional service or the ashram, because the whole point of Varna is to make your funds so you can maintain your ashram. That's the whole point of Varna's only business is to, for maintaining your ashram, maintaining your devotional life. It doesn't have another purpose. Nowadays, of course, you know, the corporate world tries to make it that, they try to make it so you see your occupation as your life, because if you do that, then they can, you know, get more out of you, right? Because otherwise, then, you know, you go to work at 9, at 5 you leave, and on the weekends, you know, you're not there. Holidays, you're not there. But if we make it that, that the corporate aspect, that the career is your life, then they can get you to do things on weekends and fly around the world and do all kinds of stuff for them. And so, you know, when it's Christmas, you know, holidays, you're off still making what do you call it, contracts and all that. Well, the boss is sitting at home with the family opening presents. You know, so these kind of elements are there. So the modern culture breaks down the whole ashram side because it's spiritual, and what you know, in their mind, it doesn't make much profit. So therefore, just the social economic aspect, that's the focus. So yeah, so in bringing that in, then you have the more wide aspect of varnashram. But in doing that, it's not that someone becomes that. He's performed the occupational duty of a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. That doesn't make him that. He's a devotee. You know, because we identify, you know, as devotees. And then the only really one that we make is in consideration of social aspects on the ashram you're in. Brahmacharis will do certain things, grihastas another, vanaprastha sannyasa different than that. And so there might be some differences there. But otherwise, we don't make a distinction, oh, he's a Brahmin by occupation, therefore he can give the class. But these guys are Vaishyas or Shudras, they can't give the Bhagavatam class. We don't do that. Because for us, these are only designations you make to make the economic, you know, and social structure work. Because the point is at the top has to be knowledge. If you don't run your activities based on knowledge, you're not going to get anywhere. Right? And then if the main application of activity and knowledge then has to be for the general welfare of the community or the public. Like that. That has to be the next. Then the next is money. And then the next is how to assist in that. Because by the corporate world, they'll make it, money is everything. So money controls education. Money controls the government. Money controls whether people get protected or not. Oh, it costs too much money, then we reduce the welfare aspect. You know, oh, we're losing our political kind of clout here or vote. So therefore increase the welfare aspect, you know, to get the people to vote for us. Once we're in office, then we can swing it back the other way and benefit of the business community. And like this, it's not about the people. And the people, it's not about what is the proper knowledge, what should they be doing as individuals, how they should be moving forward. So because of that, then there's going to be a difficulty. So for devotees, why Dharva Varnashram is so simple, the same structure, but it's so simple is because pure devotional service is the goal. So each member of the community, how they're moving forward, you know, in that developing devotion to Krishna, that's the actual goal. And then the other aspects that they have, the social, economic aspects, those are maintained by following the rules of Varnashram. And so then those aspects of their life are comfortable, but it's the point of being comfortable is so that you're not uncomfortable. And because if you're uncomfortable, sometimes one should think of Krishna, but sometimes you don't. But at the same time, it's not about material facility. Otherwise, you get those, you can also easily forget about Krishna. So the point is the ultimate goal is how to remember Krishna and how to avoid forgetting him. So that's the whole purpose. So that's the goal of the community. If one has anything else, to support all the devotees or make everyone feel good or create that community mood or make it like that. These are all just tools that are used. But if that doesn't create Krishna consciousness, it will fail. The point is we have to always remember is why do we even have any idea of a sense of community? It's simply because we chant. And because without devotional service, without the endeavor for pure devotional service, we won't have the qualities to actually act on the human platform. Because our background's not human. And so it's not that we come from our position to Varnashram, then the Panchratra, then the Bhagavat. No, it's from our position. Bhagavat's the only thing that we can access. Because Bhagavat is addressing the soul. It's the only thing that without restriction, you can chant Hare Krishna. Follow Pancharatra and take initiation, you have to actually develop mode of goodness. Follow Varnashram, you have to have that sense of duty. So again, mode of goodness. So in other words, you have to be human to take part in Pancharatra and Bhagavat. The Vedic, then you definitely have to be, you have to be human for that. Bhagavat, you don't have to be human. Pancharatra and Vedic, you have to be human. Now of that, just being human is all that's required in the Vedic, but in the Pancharatric, you have to be human and a devotee. So our chance at this thing is because we chant. So that doesn't mean, we chant, we don't have to follow the rules. That's why we're born in these places, because we don't want to follow rules. Malecha means, they're unclean and their diet and everything's unclean. Yavana means they don't want to follow the Vedic rules. Shall I repeat that? Yavana means they don't want to follow the Vedic rules. So this whole idea is, we just chant, we don't care for the rules, we do whatever we want and this and that. That's actually a Yavana mentality. Point is we follow those rules given to us by Krishna through the Acharya. So what Prabhupada has given us, that's what we follow. Prabhupada said, don't be more Paramahamsa than him. There's also a Bengali saying that you sharpen the knife by rubbing it on the bark of the tree. And then once you think it's sharp, you cut the tree to see if it's sharp. So we learn about spiritual life and yoga and chanting and all these different things from Srila Prabhupada and from the Vedic literatures. And then when we think that we know enough, then we come up with our own philosophy. So this is not very important. This will not get you community. Because we're trying to develop community with Krishna. That means the same values that Krishna has, the same values that the acharyas and the associates of the Lord have. That's where we want community. And because we're part of that community, naturally everyone connected to that community is community. So we have community because we're connected to the Lord. And then we each play our place in the thing. Now, to play your position doesn't mean that you have to identify with it. Like, you don't have to identify with your car to drive your car. You identify as the person driving the car. That's how you drive the car. Not that I identify as the car, therefore. You're aware of the car. You're sensitive to the car. But you don't identify with the car. Just like the cook, you don't identify with the vegetables or with the pot. But you understand what they are and who you are in that relationship. So the same way is, we may be performing the duties of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra like this, but we're not that. Lord Chaitanya makes that clear. Naham vipro na channara patira napi Vaishya Shudra. Right? So I'm none of these. I'm simply the servant of the servant of the servant. So my conditioned nature, in other words, my body has a particular nature. And that's there because of my consciousness. So whatever my consciousness was, you know, previous to this birth, based on that, I got this particular gross and subtle body. Right? Means, in other words, the subtle body has developed from the last birth, and whatever shape, form it's in, that's then what the body connects with. So if the consciousness is human, you take a human birth. If the consciousness is animal, you take an animal birth. And depending upon what consciousness you have, that's where you appear. That's what kind of body you get. So therefore, that is what we're considering in Varnashram. So what is the nature of this body? We can say, I'm not the body, Prabhu. I can do whatever I want. That doesn't make any sense. I was like saying, I'm not my car. Therefore, my car can fly. It's I'm literally that stupid. Of course, due to political correctness and that, you can't tell people how foolish they are. But it's literally that unscientific, that childish, that foolish, that stupid. Just because we're not the body, but the body is the body. Right? If your body is, you know, let's say, you know, a certain height and a certain weight, does that mean now you can pick up 1,000 kilos? I'm not this body, Prabhu, so I can go in one little pinky, I can pick up, you know, 1,000, I can, you know, clean and jerk, you know, 1,000 kilos like that, you know, like, oh, the thing and nothing, you know, what are these guys, big guy, you know, what are these stupid guys, you know, I can do it. I'm not the body. Because they're the body, that's why they can't do it. But I'm not the body, so I can lift that. I'm not the body, I can fly. Hey, it worked for, what was that guy? Italy wanted to fly. Oh well. So, this doesn't matter. That's foolishness. You think, yeah, I'm like a bird, I can fly. You know? Something with an A, I think. But so, I can fly, but it won't work. That's called hallucination. So this whole, that's why Krishna says better to do your duty than someone else's. Otherwise, why would Krishna say it? Krishna would say, yeah, you're not the body. You can do whatever you want. You know, that's what it means. That was Arjuna's thing. Oh, okay, yeah, I'll just go to the forest and just do all that Brahmin stuff. And Krishna said, no, you're a Kshatriya. You'll go to the forest. You'll still fight. You'll still do Kshatriya stuff. So the whole point is that nature is not going to change because that's the physiopsychological nature you have. So Daiva Varnashram means how to connect that to Krishna. And so that's the whole thing. It's not a matter of prestige. That's another problem that comes up in the modern environment. It's all about prestige. Why? Because prestige means you go out and buy things that you don't actually need. You don't actually going to use. Saint Joseph of, oh wow, so there was a few of them. Because this is another one. Yeah, I mean, it's a common thing. Hippies also always wanted to fly and that. And then of course you have that, that Mescalito, then he turned into a crow and he'd fly. So yeah, you know, so it's a common thing. So the difficulty comes off is that it's prestige. No one wants to be the Shudra because of prestige, but Shudra means you work for somebody. You go out, you do a 9-to-5 job, you just go in, sit down at your desk and walk away, and that's all you're a Shudra as far as occupation goes. But no one went, oh no, you can't discriminate, why would they even say that? Who cares? Kolabetra Sridhar is a Shudra. He didn't go, hey, you can't call me a Shudra. You know? Vasu Ghosh, he's a Vaishya. You know, Vaishya is because of the Venus in the chart, because that it also makes them many times have really good voices. So a lot of times you'll see many really good singers are from business backgrounds or Vaishya backgrounds. So it's standard. So the point is if that's the conditioning, I say, you know, we're not talking about the birth. We're talking about that's what you have. Because you can be born in whatever family, but you see what is the guna and karma. Then you see that's how it works. So therefore, then the cooperation between these means everybody does what is their duty. And that's how it works. So the essence of it, Brahman means he studies and teaches, right? Kshatriya means he works for the benefit of the people, to protect the people. Vaishya means he makes as much money as he can, and he gives in charity and supports whoever he need, you know, gives in charity, does his, you know, takes care of people, takes care of his workers and all that, because he makes all the money. In other words, all the knowledge is with the Brahmins, they distribute it. All the power is with the Kshatriyas and protections with them, and they distribute that. Vaishyas, all the money is with them, and they distribute it. And the Shudras, then they assist in whatever is their capacity. So the whole point is it doesn't matter what your background is, what your position. You do that for Krishna. That's the cooperation between the Varna and Ashram and community. The difficulty comes up is everybody wants to be the Brahmin. Why? Not that they want to be austere like that or live simply like that, you know, or do everything according to Shastra like that. They just like the authority and the prestige that comes with it. You know, so in other words, perfection, you know, I've mentioned many times is I have the, you know, how you say, the intellectual authority or knowledge authority of the Brahmins. I have the power of the Kshatriyas. I have all the money like the Vaishyas. I don't really have to follow any rules or anything. And I can be more laid back and it doesn't matter, you know, of the Shudras. And I have no responsibility like the Brahmacharis. I have all facility for sense gratification like the Grihasthas. I have that authority within the community like the, the Vanaprasthas and all that. And again, not so much response. And then the sannyasis, then yeah, they're the pinnacle of society. So I just pick and choose exactly what I want from the Varnashram, put it all together. And that's what I've come up with. That's me, you know, what I identify. So that's just cheating. Point is you take a position, you perform the duties, and that duties, then you gain your rights. But if you're not performing your obligation, where's the question of rights? In the modern society, it's all about my rights. What about your obligation? What's your obligation? So if you don't know your obligation, not performing it, why are you even talking about rights? That's like, you know, expecting something for dinner and not providing the goods. You know, the husband expects the wife to cook dinner. I remember once it was a funny thing. One husband wanted his wife to look fabulous. You know, he's seen the magazines and this. He wants his wife to look like that. And so she says, okay, so then no problem. You know, I know how to do that. Let's go out and buy some makeup. He said, no, can't you do that without makeup? Why do I have to invest in this? So he wouldn't give her any makeup or any nice clothes and expects her to look like she just walked off, you know, a ramp from Milan. Guy was such a fool, so illusion. So we have to be very, very careful that we're not in the same category. We expect everything, but we're not doing our obligation. So Varnashram, the difference between that and the modern, why it's not understood is this one simple point. Varnashram is based on the eight positions or the eight stations are what are your obligations? What is your duties? While the modern is, what is my right? So you can see they're completely opposed to each other. And that's why in the Vedic system, you see such a nice sense of community. And in the modern, where is the community? Okay, yeah, everybody came out and would fight and all that for Black Lives Matter. But other than that, they don't have any community. Unless they're going out there and rioting the street and burning down shops, there is no community. You know, okay, well, what moves around like that and cause, what moves around in a pack and causes destruction? Right? Mm-hmm. A murder of crows? Right? What do you call it? What do you call wolves? A pack of wolves?
Pack of wolves.
Yeah. You know? Think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, so how much community is there? Unless there's some common point of focus of enmity, then they don't have community. Oh, they're anti-government or anti-this or anti-corporate or anti-something. You know, that's what brings them together. So the liberals are coming together because they're anti-someone else. Do they have anything positive they come together about? Think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the difficulty. So the Vedic is based on what your obligations. So where your obligations are, other people that work within those obligations or who they're directed towards, that's your community. That's the whole point. That's your community. So one has to know what makes a community means common values. If you look up the word in the dictionary, it means a group of individuals that have common values. Now, as devotees, we have the common value of pure devotional service. So that's, in one sense, enough to hold the community together, like we see in the 60s and 70s. That's always holding together, because no one really understood much about Varnashram and tried to do it. But then as people move out from that kind of thing of the temple life and go out in the community, they didn't introduce the aspects of Varnashram like Prabhupada talked about, and understanding the duties and all those things like that. And so then there's no community. So people have been talking community for the last 40 years. You have to understand that. But now you're talking community. I mean, all the last discussions we had, community always comes up, which one sense is a good thing, because it means we have so many devotees now that everybody doesn't fit in the temple. So that's a really good thing. You know, because before you didn't have to discuss community because everyone lived in the temple. But now it's beyond that. So that means the mission is growing. Everything's growing. The interest is growing. More and more people in a wider range of backgrounds and mentalities are joining. So that's a very, very good sign. But we have to understand is the points of Varnashram that Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas talk about and Krishna talks about. That's the only way you'll hold it together. You know? Yeah, because otherwise you go, oh, well, you know, the Amish have and they don't follow Varnashram. Yeah, they all wear overalls. They all wear their hat. They all live in their certain wooden house. They all go out plowing all day. You know, they don't listen to music. They don't listen, watch the TV. They don't do any of that. So are you willing to do that? Is that what you're going to follow? You're going to be like the Amish? Yeah, they all have the same hairstyle, the same shoes, the same everything. I mean, it's, they don't even use motorized vehicles. They go out in horse and buggy when they go to town. Yeah. You know, and we're worried, oh, they look at us funny. But, you know, they look at the Amish even more funny, and they're happy to stay together. You know, they're stuck back in the 1800s. Oh, you can't do all those things, you know, 50 years ago. We can't do that now. The Amish are doing something 250 years old. You know? Somehow or another, they're okay. And then we'll say, oh, but like the Amish do it without. So all we want to do is say somebody does community without the Vedic, throw out the Vedic, but we're not going to follow the Amish, throw that out. So therefore it's just, you know, you and I will just, you know, hey, we got community, right? Yeah, yeah, bump elbows. You know, yeah, like that. Yeah, aren't we cool? And that's it. Meeting's over. Everyone goes home and never the twain shall meet. So one has to appreciate that. Community is because there's common values. So that means common values on the devotional platform, pure devotional service. And on the social platform, we have our position, we perform our duties. And in the ashram and in our spiritual life, where we fit in like that, how we're engaging our senses. Because devotional service means engaging the senses in the service of the Lord of the senses. So brahmacharis engage a certain amount, grihasthas engage the widest amount, vanaprasthas a little bit less than that. And then sannyasis, again, like brahmacharis. And so it's just about engaging the senses. So when you do your occupation, what are you doing? You're engaging the senses. Your senses in brahminical activity, kshatriya activity, vaishya activity, or shudra activity. That's all you're doing. So you have to have common values, how that works. You know? So that's why we use the common things that are then given by the shastra, because the shastra, that's universal. Krishna consciousness, that's universal. Everything else is not. Everything else is regional. That has to be appreciated. So then that is the point. So that cooperation is then, you know, who should do what? Who's good at what? If it comes to things, we're doing dealing things with money, then you ask the people that know how to make money. What do you suggest? And then everybody kind of works, you know, they lead in that thing. You're doing something about holding together a community, those who understand the social structure and all that, then everybody supports behind that. Or if it's about the knowledge, then you support that. That's how it works. You know? It still doesn't mean even you're getting money, it still has to be what's good for you know, it doesn't disturb anybody. It's not going to be a disturbance, and it's based on Shastra. So you have to always consider these things. Sorry, you were saying?
So I was just thinking, Maharaj, that many times we've seen even non-devotees like our seniors, grandparents, sort of a generation, life was very different for them, more peaceful and things. Would you say that the modern is where trying to always strive to be what we think we should be rather than recognizing where we are now and who we are?
That would be one aspect. That would definitely be there. But it doesn't mean that in those days people weren't, like you see Dale Carnegie or anyone else. They started off on the bottom and moved up to the top. Point is, if that's your ability, go for it. But the point is that you look back in time, great-grandparents, great-grandparents, it wasn't centered around themselves, not directly. You know, of course, your material world is always going to be self-centered, but at least that sense of pranamaya, or even more, that religious sense of following God's laws, that was there. So that was the common point. We follow God's laws. So varnashram means God's laws according to the social, economic, and you know, religious, spiritual structure. How to structure all those things. So in other words, varnashram is the structure on which all the other religious practices can be connected. Right? Like that. So that then is the common thing. So everybody would, you know, do their duties and behave properly. You know, they're supposed to do this. They would do that. Not why do I have to do this? You know, if that's it, who would take out the garbage in the modern contemporary thing? Right. So to take out the garbage, that means then you have to, you know, hire, what is it? I mean, I don't know what you have over there. In other places, they have like Filipinos, you know, come in and everything like that. You know, so I'm not sure where you get your people from over there. You know, who's all the nannies and all the guys that work in all these places, janitors and all that, you know, Peruvians or, you know, something from somewhere that's not, you know, someone who's not a WASP. Right? You understand WASP?
Yes.
Yeah. So therefore, then you know, and then that makes the thing. I'm superior because I don't take out the garbage. Yeah. You know? But the whole point is that, well, who made the garbage?
We did.
Yeah, we made the garbage, and then you can't take it out. You know, it's like you make the mess. Why can't you clean it up? Yeah. You know? You know, that'd be like, okay, so you cook dinner. Okay, yes, I cook dinner. Then what's the thing? I should be the first one to sit down and eat. No. You cook. You should not eat. That's for people who are low. Bring in the Filipinos. They'll eat everything. You know, so the whole problem is that these difficulties come up is that we create these false identities of prestige, like you see in the Gita. You know, I am so wonderful, and I'm surrounded by aristocratic family members and all that. And, you know, I have removed this enemy, and I'll remove the other ones. And I'm rich, I'm famous, I'm fabulous, I'm enjoying myself and everything like this. So this is what the mundane mentality looks for. So if we're not careful, that's what comes up. It doesn't matter that we're devotees or not. The point is, the modes of nature work in a particular way. You're either above the modes or you're in the modes. So above the modes means you engage the modes in Krishna's service. How do you know how to engage the modes in Krishna's service? By the dictates of Shastra. What Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra said, that's what you do. Then you have community.
Can you tell how the modes are relating to these aspects we were just talking about? Sort of like the more modern, what kind of modes that's under and what?
Well, yeah, passion and ignorance, because there's no understanding of who they are. So they think they are the body. So if I'm taking out the trash, I'm low class. And if I'm the guy that hires the guy that takes out the trash, then I'm high class. But the point is no, that's not the whole point. Because the point is without shooters, how does the whole society function? Right? Let's say you have Marks and Spencers, okay? 10,000 people working for them, at least previously. I don't know about now, you know, in the present condition. And so that means, you know, there's two or three guys in that company who are Vaishyas. Everybody else is Shudras. So take away all those Shudras, and how big is Marks and Spencers going to be? It's going to be three Vaishyas standing there on Oxford Street with a little table and trying to flog a few pants and shirts. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. Literally, if there's nobody else, it's just those three Vaishyas. That's it. Herod's also. Some guy sitting down there, you know, with a little table and trying to flog their stuff. That's it. You know, it's because they have 10,000 Shudras, that's why they're so big. They have the ability to think that big, but it's only because they have that many Shudras that happens. That doesn't mean now the Shudra can say, oh, without us, you wouldn't have this business, so we're actually the main thing. No, it's not. Business is the point. You're assisting business. Mm. So it controls both. That's the point. The Vedic controls both ways. You see, the modernists, these are all capitalistic and completely exploit everybody else, or it thinks it's socialistic and throw out all the things like that. Why did Russia collapse as a communist country? They had no money. Because all they did was spend 70 years killing everybody who knew how to make money. And then it just collapsed. They couldn't maintain it. But once they went into capital, now they're big guys again. Same with China. So that's the thing, is that Shudras, it won't work. But if it's just Vaishya, they'll take advantage and take every penny from everybody. Everybody will be slaves to them. So they have to be controlled by the Kshatriyas, who protect the people. The Kshatriyas will take control and do everything the way they like. They have to be controlled by the Brahmins. The Brahmins are controlled by Shastra. So we're engaged in this thing just to be involved in Krishna service. So because of ignorance, no one knows what they're doing, but because there's a little bit of passion, that's why they run around and make lots of money.
Right.
But you'll see is, let's say people who are established rich, you know, they've been, you know, rich for the last some hundreds of years, like the Rothschilds or something,
mm-hmm.
you know. Then they're going to be, you know, they're religious, they're given charity, you know, everybody does their duties, everybody does this. So there'll be that touch of goodness, though it's based on passion.
Right.
And that's why they can maintain, that's why they're rich for the last 400 years. But you see these other guys, they come up, you know, today he's a millionaire and tomorrow he's gone. You never hear him again.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see the people that are rich and stay rich. They're the ones that live a balanced lifestyle, you know, as much as they understand, given charity, deal better with people and all that. And the other guys, then they're just a flash in the pan.
Hmm.
That's just the way it is. Bhumi Devi says that about the kings. They come up and then they're gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's just like, you know, in that area of the world, at one point the Swedes were the things and they were the emperors of the whole thing. Then another time, then the Prussians are, and then another time the Russians are. And then, you know, everybody got my land. Where are they now? Where are the Prussians now?
Hmm.
Where are the Swedes now? They're halfway across the Baltic. Where are the Russians? Well, a little bit past the border, but, you know, but the point is it keeps changing. And so Bhumi Devi finds that amusing in the Aila Gita. Then she makes that point. Is that, all these, they come in, they march back and forth and this and that and say, this is my land and all that. And then they're dead. And then it's someone else's land.
Mm.
You know, so that's it. Everybody's at one time controlled Europe. You know, like that, you know. I say the French were in control, the Italians were in control, the Germans were in control, you know, the Polish at one time were in control. They took over, you know, then you have the Ottomans and they got, you know, everybody comes and does, you know, their thing. Russians, you know, and it just keeps changing. So that's the whole point, is that it's not stable unless you have the mode of goodness. Mode of goodness means you perform your duties. And why are you doing that? Because Krishna gave the duties. You want to please Krishna. I have this body. I have to maintain this body. So why don't I do it in a way that's pleasing to Krishna? Since I'm a devotee of Krishna, I'm trying to develop love for Krishna. So why wouldn't I do it connected to Krishna? Why would I want to say, no, we got to follow all the modern things. That's how they became rich. That's not. So those kids that thought up Google, they followed the modern rules out of the book. Or they followed the eternal laws of how business works.
The eternal
two teenage kids in a garage And now you have Google, one of the biggest businesses on the planet.
Yeah.
You know? Apple started the same way. So many things started the same way. A bunch of kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to say, oh, we have to do this, and we have to do that. No. Point is you follow Krishna's rules, it works. And if you follow anybody else's rules, it's incomplete because they have imperfect senses. They cheat. They're illusioned, you know, so they're unable to actually appreciate fully what's there. They catch something, but then as the modes change, it doesn't work anymore. Principle will always work, but unless they see the principle, and who's talking principle? Everyone's fighting over detail. Does that make sense?
Yes, Raj. So in terms of cooperation, I was thinking about how we all understand Prabhupada said your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate.
Yes.
But sometimes it seems that cooperation is thought of as everybody should just do the same thing or do what they're told. But it seems to me that from what you're explaining, it's more about everybody understanding their own position and the position of others and then working accordingly. So whoever's strengths are there, we bring them together.
Yes.
And then that creates a cooperation.
Yes. Like I remember seeing in New York, when they were at 22nd Avenue. And there were 4 or 6 brahmacharis that lived there and maintained the place. And they had a bit of a community that would come, you know, because only the brahmacharis could stay and everybody else lived outside and they came. But they used to do park programs. Then in Washington State, I think Washington Square Park, you know, famous park. And, you know, that local area there. And, I remember they was invited to one meeting, them discussing, you know, they wanted some input. And, you know, there was at least one banker there. I mean, he ran a bank, not, you know, in New York. We're not talking about just he worked at a bank. He wasn't a teller. He was either the bank manager, assistant bank manager, and there was another. There were doctors, lawyers, all these kind of people like that. And they'd all sit around and then discuss, you know, like, yeah, we could do this and that. And someone, whoever's strength it was or whoever had the connections or the networking in that area, they're the one that came forward and led that aspect, you know. And others would give their input from their experience. And the president sat there and he'd give his input to see that it was all going in the right Krishna conscious direction, right? Because he wasn't the professional in that. He's professional in what's Krishna conscious. That's what the temple president's supposed to be. You know, so he sees that all the others are being Krishna conscious. So in other words, he's the GBC for the temple.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the GBCs for the individual temple. And the GBC is the GBC for all the temples in the area. Yeah, you know, like that. So it's the same kind of position. He manages, but he sees that, and then he'll see who does what and all that, and, you know, what the brahmacharis are going to do. You know, he'll say, okay, my men can do like this and that, and the bank manager, oh, I have this, or my family can do this, or I have a friend, he can do this, or I know some guy, I can get some stuff like this. Okay, we want to distribute shot. Or, hey, I know the guy that makes, you know, the paper plates and like that, and I'll get him to, you know, donate something like that, or he'll give it to us for cheap, or, you know, like this. They just put it together. Point is, the president is leading it in that it's going in a Krishna conscious, practical way. But the others are putting in the actual practical stuff because that's what they know.
Mm.
The president knows that he can do that. But if not, so that's the whole thing, is everybody puts in what they know rather than this thing, I'm a big guy, I do everything, because that's not how it works. It means you can do that, but then it's always a one man show. And then where's the community?
Mm.
Community means engaging so many people. You know, if there's no one there, you do it yourself. And if there's so many people, you engage them. It doesn't mean you tell them and walk off. It means you're on top of it because you're responsible. You know? So then that way, then they were all nicely working together in their own capacity. You know? So that's the thing. And each one wasn't trying to step on the other and be all, I'm the bank manager, you know, like that. You know, I'm socially bigger than you as your level of lawyer. And then the other guy, yeah, but I'm a bigger lawyer than him, and I'm on a top lawyer like that, you know, like that. If you're from, Goldman and Sachs, okay, then we're talking here, but you're not. So, hey, you know, you're Bank of America, you know, step back, Jack. You know, they're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, just like Krishna took care of the shoes at the Rajasuya sacrifice. He's God. He could run the whole thing himself. Right? But he doesn't. He just takes care of the shoes. Bhima just takes care of the kitchen. Nakula and Sahadev just take care of, you know, one receives the guests, one seats the guests. Vidura just took care of what's being, you know, how you say, accounting, what's coming in the treasury. Like that. Duryodhana just brought it in. He received it, the goods. And then Vidura would document it.
Yeah.
You know, so everybody had something that they did. And that's it. They didn't do more than that. So each one could run the whole thing, but they don't. That's our disease, is that if I'm in charge, I have to run everything.
Yeah.
You know, but the pendulum swing of the opposite. Okay. So one guy does, you know, nobody should get that much power. So we'll just have a committee because committees don't get along and they'll fight like anything. So no one will get enough power. And then at the same time, nothing gets done. Prabhupada gave us TPs. He didn't give us a board. Where does the board come from? Literally, where does the board come from? It comes from business. So are we businessmen? If we are, then, as the saying goes, show me the money. I don't see the money. So that's the whole point is even you do have a board, there is a CEO, and he's in charge. They don't like him, they can get another one, but the point is, but you have to remember, is okay, you have a board, you want to do the corporate, but you have to remember, the shareholders can vote you all out. So we don't even fall corporate. We want to be board, we want to be this and that, and take people out and use that, but, you know, can the general public, you know, devotees, can they vote us out? No. So then why are we doing these foolish things? The TP is in charge. But if he's a smart TP, he listens to others who have expertise in the various areas. And if he doesn't, he's a fool. It'll always be small. And if he listens to those who have, you know, in this areas, then you do. But the people is who he's asking, they have to also be humble and that, and just how much they know, that's what they deal in. They don't try to go beyond that. You know, they can learn something new, of course, and expand, but they don't just automatically that I got some money, so therefore I know everything and I'll tell everybody what to do, or I have a management background, so therefore I'll tell everybody what to do, or, you know, I know accounts, so I'll tell everybody what to do. And, you know, it's like this. So the difficulty comes up is there's this false prestige of who's in charge, but doesn't that go back to the envy and attachment? I'm the controller of all our survey and I'm the enjoyer of everything. Isn't that why we're in the material world?
Mm.
You know, the soul thinks I don't need Krishna. I'm the controller and enjoyer. So it's just the same thing here. But because now we use some special corporate language, now it's all right. It's devotional. It's still nonsense. It's still Maya. You'll still stay here. So we have to understand is that the point is if there's not a leader who's then showing the direction where to go, then how does it work?
Yeah.
At the same time, if he's not taking advice from others and getting their input, then he's a fool. I mean, if nobody's there, you know, you go to start a new center somewhere and it's you and that's it. Okay. Then you can, you can go and talk to yourself in the mirror or something like that. You know, only Ravana, you know, extends his heads and each head is expert in the various branch of knowledge. But other than him, yeah, then you have to wait. But as devotees are there, then you start to expand and somebody's good at money. You ask him what to do with this. Somebody's good at this. You ask him that. You know, the head pujari, you talk to them about the puja. He knows the puja. You know, if the head pujari, if the temple president knows puja, then they can discuss, you know, very nicely together as equals like that. But the decision is the temple president. A board can give some ideas, but they can't run things. There's no such thing as a board running anything. It doesn't exist on the planet. But we're so foolish, we think it's a good management option. It doesn't exist. Nothing works by a board. If there is a board, there's a chairman. And the chairman controls it. And he has that authority and power. He makes decisions outside of the meeting. It's just the way it works. But this thing, no, the board just tells you what to do. You can't do anything else. This is bogus. It doesn't exist. We've made this up due to not wanting to be controlled by anybody. And why don't we want to be controlled? Because I'm independent. I'm the supreme. We don't like authority. We're anti-authority. So if you're anti-authority, then we're anti the Vedic rules, or anti-Varnashram. We don't really want to do all the things of the Shastras. And you know, it's actually not, doesn't apply now. Okay, they could do that 5,000 years ago, but now, you know, it's different. You know, people have mobile phones now. They didn't have mobile phones 5,000 years ago. So everything's changed. You know, yeah, people used to talk directly to each other before, and now you don't. So.
Would you say that creation of a board is more based on people's feelings rather than getting something productive?
Yeah. It's based on a group of people who do not trust authority. That's a board.
Right.
Where you see they remove the temple president and put a board. Generally speaking, everyone on the board is someone who does not trust authority, and they want to be the authority themselves. So you'll see the fun part about the board is it has zero responsibility, full authority. And then where there's a board and then there's a temple president working below him like a Shudra, then he has full responsibility, zero authority. 100% bogus, totally bogus. You know, I can't emphasize how bogus it is. It doesn't work anywhere. Now you have a group of people that you discuss with, and let's say you're having some, now it's one thing, let's say a zonal council, all the temple presidents sit down and discuss. That's because they're trying to cooperate together, like the GBC. But they're not, the board's not the one who manages. The GBC is not the one who manages. The president manages. Prabhupada made a president. You know, or whatever you call him, you know, that project leader. You know, in Mayapur it was directors, and somewhere else it's something else, like in Vrindavan the Gurukul was a rector. You know, that's some old English term or something like that. Mm. So whatever you want to call, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing. Somebody has to call the shots. Otherwise, why do they still have a president in the country, or a chancellor, or whatever you call it, you know? You know, the supreme president for life or whatever it is. You know, you know, the point is that he always has it because you have to follow one person. You have a general, they follow the general. You have the navy, you have your admiral, they follow the admiral. If they went together and had a meeting, well, these planes are coming in now and they're getting dangerously close. So what does everybody think? You know, like that. You know, give a show of hands like that. You're not raising your hand. Well, it has to be unanimous, you know, because we want everybody to feel part of this. And then the ship blows up because they just got bombed. Yeah. So the whole point is, but having people like you see in the monarchy, the king has ministers and he listens to those ministers, and those ministers have responsibility. But still the decision is up to the president. That's just the way it works. That's how things work. You know, how much does the UN get done? Everyone sits around and talks. Every year there's another country. Mm. So that's why Prabhupada said these things are useless. So the whole point is this, how do you make that work? Well, how can we trust and this and that? How can we trust anybody? This whole thing is like, we're the center of attention. Well, I don't trust. So, you know, it's all about me. So what? Get it together. Learn to respect authority. You don't respect it. Respect is one of the first things you learn in the Vedic culture and the training. You don't have respect, you're uncultured. You're not human. Humans respect. You can't respect anybody. It's a fault, a major fault in character. So we have to understand the importance and therefore try to cultivate it. You know, we may not have that thing. We've come from backgrounds where we don't trust the parents were this, or I went to school and was bullied, or this happened, or, you know, you have the glass ceiling and work and can't get above it. And, you know, whatever it is, the reason that we don't trust authority. But the whole point is Krishna's the authority. Shastra's the authority. These things we have to follow. It's Krishna's laws. It's just the way it is. We can not like authority all we like, but it doesn't matter. It's still the way it is.
And these things seem to be becoming more prominent over time. So is it just the progression of Kali Yuga as well?
It's the progression of people trying to be politically correct, which is not our system. Our system is see all living entities equally by their connection to Krishna, but distinct, unique by their own particular features and qualities. This whole thing is no, see everyone equal. So it's just this impersonal, what do you call it? Mush or something. Then, that's impersonalism. So basically pranamoya has come in and people are presenting it as if it's devotional service. The second level of consciousness was extended sense gratification. In other words, I want everyone to be nice because then they'll be nice to me. Everyone should be equal because I'll be treated equally. It's not that I actually care about these things. Because you see, so many of these liberal groups and all that, they're nice amongst the particular area they are, and they're very heavy and nasty with people outside of that.
Yeah. So can it help us if we take things back to the primary goal?
That's the only way to make it work. You have to see how does this fit into pure devotional service. Because unless pure devotional service is that, you'll never be able to establish anything because everybody will fight over the detail because everybody doesn't trust and everyone wants to be in charge. Or at least, and the whole reason for being in charge, not to protect anyone to get something done, to make sure that no one bothers me. I'm an authority, that way no one else can bother me and I can do what I want. Not that I'll get anything done, but at least I keep everybody else at bay so they don't bother me. So that's not a social basis. That's dog eat dog. But then you have to remember in that system, the bigger dog eats the smaller dog.
We have a couple
or,
of other questions.
As I remember, TKG, Tamal Krishnamurti is jokingly saying that, but we're devotees, so it's swan eats swan.
We have a couple of other questions, Maharaj.
Yes, please. This is all I had was these four. So if you have more than that, then please.
Mangalavati Machi, was it yourself or Tathavada Prabhu that had a question?
Yes, Hare Krishna Maharaj. My humble
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So you were talking about board. I just want to make sure that we are doing it in, progressive Vedic way in Malmö. So I'm the chairman because nobody else wants to be, so, and I don't mind being. So, but then we have treasurer and secretary and so on. But the way we do it is that I sometimes have to take undemocratic decisions. So then I end the discussion and I say, okay, now we just do like this. And then the other devotees, I always try to just delegate. Let's say we are going to have now, we had Radhastami. So then I just delegate, okay, this person can take care of the prasadam during Radhastami. The other person takes care of lecture or, so that's what the board members are doing.
And you don't have temple.
We don't have temple yet. So we just...
Whatever works, but somebody has to take the lead. That's the whole thing. What we're saying is that the GBC, they may work on a body like that. That was given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But that's a cooperation between people who are doing something. So what is the authority for them? Prabhupada's instructions. So you can use it in that way, but this idea that the board will take all decisions and then the temple authority has to follow that. He doesn't make the decisions. But then he's to blame if it goes wrong and the board's not. That's completely bogus.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that I can agree.
The whole point is that if you have a chair of the group or the board, that's fine, but the chair has to make decisions. Mm. Maybe at the next meeting you explain why you did things or you discuss what to do when these things come up and all that. That's nice. But still you have to have one person leading it.
Mm. Yes, yeah, so if something goes wrong, then it falls on me. But then I have been also there making sure that the proper decisions have been taken.
Yeah, but this, but I'm, what I'm, why I'm saying this is because there are temples that they have this idea that they'll have this temple board, which sometimes is 20 or 30 people. Because when you have a community of, let's say, 500 devotees who don't come to the temple anymore because they don't like the president or don't like each other, then the opportunity comes up. Everybody wants to be on the board. So there's 30 people on the board that they not necessarily do anything for the temple or have done in a recent time. Yes, 30 years ago they were something, or 30 years ago they were the president. Like that. But the point is now they're not. And so then what happens is that they're just there to see that their own interests aren't disturbed.
Okay.
And so it's that, and then they make the decisions and that, and then the temple president just gets it done. So he's just a hired guy. He's a Shudra. But that's not the way Prabhupada wanted it. He needs somebody you lead.
Yeah.
So even we see the GBC is as a meeting, a group, but in their own area, they lead. They don't manage the temples, but they lead. You know, so one has to understand this balance, because there's this difficulty is that the Western kind of concept, if you're in charge, you're in charge of everything. And if you're not in charge, you're in charge of nothing. Rather than, no, you're in charge, but that doesn't mean you don't behave nicely and don't take, you know, advice from others and do all these different things, you know. So it's always like you have, I don't know what you have in the different countries there, but in America you have the president, but he has a cabinet. Cabinet means they're experts in the field. And then, and he discusses with them and tries to make some kind of, give some kind of policy. Then that then goes to, you know, the whole community thing, you know, the Congress and House and all that kind of stuff. So the point is that, Without somebody taking a specific lead, it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Because each one will think the other one's taking care of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So Rob's point of the temple president was, everything in the temple is his responsibility. Nothing's not. The garbage is not taken out, it's his fault. You can't say, oh, this devotee didn't show up. Well, why don't you know that? Why isn't it arranged? Okay, he didn't show up. Yeah, it happens. Why haven't you arranged someone else to take it out? So when Prabhupada saw things going wrong in the temple and he asked the president, he tried to blame it on the other people that were delegated to. Prabhupada said, no, it's your responsibility. You get them to do it. That's nice. You know, but the point is that it's your responsibility. So that's the difficulty, is the modern kind of thing. They want to have authority, no responsibility. Oh, it wasn't me. Hey, what happened? You know. So one of the few places that it still works is the military. You know, someone's in a position of authority. They have an authority, but they're also responsible. Something goes wrong. The mission goes wrong. It's this guy's fault. You know, it's not that he can say, well, you know, they can't do that. So that's the whole thing, is that the Vedic system is on what's your obligations and what's everybody's obligations. Modern is everybody's trying to figure out what's my rights. You know, like I heard sometimes devotees talking, oh, well, Prabhupada said, you know, we could vote for the president. Okay, great. You have that authority. What are you doing? What's your obligation? Are you going to follow that authority? No. So that's the difficulty, is people want full rights, zero responsibility. That's the problem. I went on a train going to Calcutta, and it was packed with people, and I asked, oh, why, where are you all guys going? It says, we're going for a rally in Calcutta. You know, they're going for a march. So it was a communist march, right? And so then I asked, okay, what's the purpose of the march? I said, we want more pay. You know? More pay, less work. I says, okay. What would be the ultimate goal, the perfection of what you would guys want? Full pay, zero work.
Oh, really?
And the guys were actually serious. They're just children.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Children don't take responsibility. Adults take responsibility. And, you know, childishness is not restricted by age. I mean, there's a natural point when you're supposed to convert at 16, but it doesn't necessarily mean that people have in all areas, maybe in their particular skill and knowledge, but not necessarily socially.
That must be the Anamaya platform, when one has not really yet learned to take responsibility.
No, that's Anamaya. It's about themselves. Pranamaya, it's about others as long as I get benefit and my community gets benefit, my particular group. But it's still, we make up the laws, right? So here's where then it starts to work, if you say you're going to have more people involved, is the third level of consciousness is acceptance and acknowledgement of God's laws and following them. So if the group is following Krishna's laws, then that has some meaning. But if it's just a power trip, a power struggle, what's the point? Like Duryodhana, how is he following any of Krishna's laws in getting rid of the Pandavas? You can say he's following Niti Shastra, but he wasn't following Dharma Shastra. You know? And look how it worked out. Yes, he got the kingdom for 14 years, and then he was dead as a doornail in 18 days. 14 years and then dead. So yeah, you can do these things. And then how long do they last? So that's the whole point, is that you have to be able to work with others, cooperate with others. That's the whole point of community. Same time as everyone's not trying to profile, well, I have this and that, and I know this and I know. It's a matter of the standard is set by Krishna and Prabhupada. It's not set by us. Oh, but in the modern world, they do this. So what? And how long does that last? How long have they been doing that? Like Dale Carnegie wrote a book more than 100 years ago, and you can still use it today, and it works. But people say, oh, well, that's old fashioned. Nowadays, they do this. Yeah, and then how long is that going to last? Another few weeks, few months, and then it's gone. Like, remember, there was this time systems came up, and everyone was talking systems. You don't hear anybody. It lasted 1 year. At least strategic planning, they've been talking about it for the last 25. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that these things, everything just comes up and goes. You know, oh, well, they're doing this and that. So what? You know, farmers plant potatoes in the proper season and harvest in the proper season and water them and fertilize in the proper season. They get potatoes. They get it today. 100 years ago, they got it. 1,000 years ago, they still work the same. You follow God's laws, it's eternal. It always works. This idea is that, oh, you can't follow these Vedic things because times have changed. It's Krishna. It's Krishna's Kali Yuga. It's Krishna's three modes of material nature. It's Krishna's Maya. It's not the modern first world's Maya. They didn't create these things. So you follow what Krishna gives, it works. If you don't follow, it will be a problem. You can find a loophole, and then what?
Is that some kind of Buddhism sneaking in when we think that just because the majority...
No, Buddhism's not sneaking in. What's the mantra? Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatyadesha tarane means the Western kinds are just pervaded with impersonalism and voidism.
That's true.
So it's just some that's left. It's not that, oh, it came in. No, it's there. You know? So that's the whole point, is we have to see is, yes, we're a person. So then as a person, what's your commitment to Krishna consciousness? As a person, what's the particular, physical, psychological nature that you have? And so therefore, how to use that for Krishna? Not, oh, it doesn't matter. You have to know what you are and what your strengths and weaknesses are. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, let's say the man is managing. You know, he can be insensitive. And it doesn't bother him. But the woman's managing, she will be sensitive. She'll be aware of everything. So you have to know where your strength is and where your weakness is. Can't say, oh, we're not the body, but that the point is the body still acts like the body. Say what you want. It's not because you become a devotee, then the hormones change. You know, the women start growing mustaches and the men don't grow beards anymore or something like that. Or the women burp and pass air and the men don't anymore. You know, it doesn't change. It's Krishna's modes. It's Krishna's nature. He's given them. It's eternal. You have to know that. This modern thing, oh, we can do whatever we want. That's really good for business, in that people will therefore buy stuff that they don't need. Does anybody need a pair of $2,500 Jordan Air shoes? Means if you're a professional NBA player and out on the basketball court with those shoes, it might be an advantage because you're getting paid $1 million. So what's $2,500 for that? If you're just a kid going to high school, what's it for? It's just for prestige. So they want to make you feel, yeah, you can do it. You can be this. Yeah, you can jump higher, run faster. It's like, you know, who's going to do that? So it's all business. It's just to make money out of $2,500. You know how many pairs of shoes you could buy for how many years? That was $2,500 to keep you in shoes for the next 10, 20 years. Mm-hmm. There's one set of shoes that you can only wear in one kind of occasion. You know, if you're going to go out hiking, you can't wear them because they'll get muddy. And if they get muddy, they're ruined. And if you ruin, that's $2,500 where the prestige disappeared. Not only that, if you wear them out there, someone will steal them. You know, so that's the whole point, is that we're so in illusion. We so accept the illusion that we're in that we think it's standard. So one of the definitions of the etymology of Maya is miyate, which means to measure. So do I measure by modern standards or do I measure by Vedic standards? Do I measure by my own idea or by what the acharyas are giving? Mm-hmm. So that's the point, is the measurement, Krishna gives a measurement. The acharyas give us the measurement. Srila Prabhupada gives us the measurement and we use those measurements. Anything else, if it fits in line with those measurements, fine. It's a nice detail. You know, it talks about drive your car for Krishna, but to learn to drive car, you have to learn from somebody who knows how to drive. That doesn't mean now they're guru and on the same platform as Prabhupada. And now you can ask them, well, how do I run my life? And, you know, my chanting's not going so good. So what do you think? You know, and I'm asking this to the driver instructor. No, he knows driving. You learn driving from him. And learn how to use it in Krishna's service. That he can't teach you. That Prabhupada teaches you. So we have to be very clear on that. Is that okay? So it doesn't matter who we are, but we have to know who we are and what our limits are. You know, someone can deal with certain aspects, you know, even in management, certain people are good in certain areas, certain people are not. Just because you manage doesn't mean you know how to deal with people. Right? People manage go downs. Let's say like you're managing Amazon go down. It's just run by drones. There's no people there. Mm-hmm. And you can manage that very excellently. You're perfect management. But if you were put into an environment where there were no drones, it was all people, you might fail because you can't deal with people. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole thing, is you have to know who you are and what you can do, what your strengths and weaknesses are. And then within that, being humble, being tolerant, respecting others, not looking for respect, then you apply yourself. Mm-hmm. This whole thing is just automatic. I want to do it so I can do it. That's where does that come from? You know, if we apply that across the board, yeah, the kids would like to go into the store and eat all the candy and not pay for it. That's what they feel like doing. Sincerely, they feel like that. So you're trying to destroy the child's dream by not letting them come into your store and eat all your candy and not pay. Where does this nonsense end? Just because it means you feel like it, great, but do you deserve to feel like it? Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. You actually have, let's say, a management ability, then you can desire to do it. But if you don't have a management ability, what's your right to decide, I want to manage? I want to be the, you know, in charge. But if you don't have an ability to do that, then? So that's the thing. No, anybody can do anything. It's just, you know, the sky is the limit, or, you know, as much as you can dream, you can do. And all. They just say these things. It makes money. Where do these things come from? They come from advertisements. Advertisement means they're trying to sell you something you don't need.
Yeah. That's true.
You see these really up-to-date, you know, catchy, what do you call it, advertisements for potatoes? No. You know, bread? No. Like that milk? No. Toilet paper? No. So anything you need, you don't have to advertise because you're going to buy it anyway. It's all the stuff you absolutely don't need. That's what they have to advertise. You know what I'm saying? So unless you find you need it, then you use it. But just because it's out, oh, everybody's into this now. So what? Give it 6 months and everybody will be into something else. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. I mean, it's easy to think that's traps, so it's good to be reminded.
Yeah, because the point is, you know, it's like you're running the thing, you're the chairman, you know, like that, fine. But you also have to know is your nature is there and you have to be able to work with that.
Yeah.
You can't be an illusion that it's exactly the same. No, the method to go about it will be different. You know, the guy has to stand in line there with 100 other people to get the job. The girl just walks in and looks nice and they talk to her. You know, they're different. You know what I'm saying? So understand the difference. Use it in Krishna service and then it's fine. But all this bogus stuff where we're not the body and all that. Of course we're not the body. But the point is the body has its nature. You know, if you have a fabulous memory, you can't say that's because I'm a devotee. Therefore, no, other people don't have any memory at all. It's like a sieve, you know, like what the colander you pour the hot water with the spaghetti into. That's their memory. You know, everything goes, you know, in one side, out the other. Can't remember a thing, you know, but it doesn't make him any less a good devotee. It just means that if that's the case, don't do stuff where you have to remember things. Or have someone else there that can remember all those things. Have a secretary that takes care of these things. You know, my memory is like, this guy will take care. And then you have to respect them for taking notes and reminding you. Not that they're obliged and, you know, you deserve it. No. So that's the thing. Everybody respects everybody for what they do. But at the same time, there's a hierarchy of what's respectable. Because that's the thing, is they try to make everything equal. Everyone respects and it's all equal and there's no difference between anybody. It's like, what are you talking about? You know? We had the Tsar. All right. Tsar, right? And the people weren't very happy and weren't necessarily taken care of as much as they wanted. You know, life was a bit miserable, but, you know, it was fairly stable. Then some intellectuals got together and decided, hey, this is nonsense. Let's get rid of the Tsar. So then they plotted this, that, and they somehow or another got it together and got rid of the Tsar. Then what happened? Then you got Stalin. Stalin killed, you know, easily 5 to 10 times as many millions of people as the Tsar and his father had died in wars fighting for the country. Right? These were just people they didn't like. They weren't even dying for their country. They were just killed because they didn't like them. And somehow or another, that's an improvement?
It's a tragedy.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. Then they don't like Louis. They kill Louis. And then you got Napoleon, who completely took control of everything.
Exactly.
So that's the whole thing, is that you can say, you know, like now in America, defund the police and this and that. But you get rid of the police, then the gangs will take over. Mm. You know, they're armed like that because they're using that on a daily basis to deal with crime. They're not dressed like military outfits because of people are going out on the street and marching. You know? So that's the thing, is people don't know what they want. But that's why you have to follow the standards given by Krishna. Otherwise, everybody comes up with their own idea. And it sounds great at the moment. Somebody talks very passionately and says something. Everyone thinks, wow, yeah, I can relate to that. But in reality, is it going to work? If it's according to Krishna's laws, according to the tradition, it'll work. And if just somebody made it up, well, you know, why have a guy in charge? We had a problem with presidents, therefore get rid of all presidents. Isn't that what how the Mayavadis do it?
Yeah.
Dealing with the senses and everything and like this and variety and in charges and that. And so we're having problems. So get rid of it. So there's nothing. Because the question was before, where do the boards come from? It comes from impersonalism. Otherwise, why would you have a board run anything that's actually being managed? You can have a satsang between senior people to discuss on that and get ideas and get inspiration and to have common goals. That you can do. But to actually run something, you have to have someone in charge. This is an impersonal thing. No government in the world runs by a group, no military, no business, nothing works in that way. But we have this idea, oh no, but it would be so nice. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone just cooperated? Yes, but cooperate together on what? Krishna's standards, Krishna's values. That then you have a cooperate. Then you have community. Otherwise, then the problem comes up is one's not going to have community. We're just going to have a bunch of people trying to do their own thing. And slowly, slowly, it'll just fall apart. Mm. And the people who are more serious than that, they'll stay. And then you'll end up with one person running it. So now if that one person can take advice from others who have experience in the fields that they're working in, then great. But it shouldn't be the advisor thinks, as I said it, he has to do it. No, that's the point of advisor. Advice means advice. I tell you, you like it or not, because the point is I advise, I'm not responsible. Right? You ask me, so I'm not responsible. But you make the decision, you're responsible.
Yeah.
Right? And if the advice is good, then you keep that person as advisor. If the advice is bad and always, then maybe they shouldn't be an advisor. Does that make sense?
Question came on that point.
Yes.
Just, would it be better? Sorry, would it be a good way to see it that the board is more like an advisory body assisting the temple president in making his decisions, and therefore to make up that body with persons who have expertise or strengths in different areas?
Yes, and they have to actually be able to relate to management. You can't have anybody on the temple board who can't relate what they're thinking to management.
Mm-hmm.
That's mono. The king has boards like that. He has two, in fact. He has the administrative board and he has the Shastric board. Like that. So the Shastric are Brahmins who know the Shastra and know the Shastra in relationship to administration. And they can give examples and practically how it applies in administration. It's not that I feel like saying something. You know, for the last 30 years, I haven't been able to say anything and now is my chance. So I want my chance. It's like, who cares? Like that, you know. Point is they have to know that. So it has to be people that work in that. And it's not that that's their full-time job as advisors. They have to be doing something. That's also another misnomer in the modern. It means these ministers, they do something like the minister, you know, like that. It's like you have the general, right? And so he runs the army, manages the army. Then he's sitting there and giving advice when it comes to the military aspects. Or other aspects of discipline and authority. But this whole idea is that, I'm a board member. I do nothing else other than go to board meetings and I should get paid this much and I should get dental and I should get a house to stay and I should get a car. And is that bogus? You know, in other words, you already have a head pujari. You already have a Sankirtan leader. You already have a temple commander. You already have the treasurer, right? Not the cashier. Not the accountant, the treasurer, right? You might have the VP, you might have some others who do, you know, the cost. These are the people you call together and have your meeting with. They run the temple anyway.
Mm-hmm.
These are the ones you call and say, okay, we're going to have a festival. How about this and that? And the Samaritan guy says, yeah, my boys can do this. And Parjari say, well, we can do this. And, you know, the treasurer says, yeah, we got this much money. And, you know, the temple commander says, yeah, the Brahmacharis can do this and like that. That's what's there. This thing where you have boards where They're nothing. They do nothing for the temple and come and sit on the board and make their, you know, pontificate and then go away. It's like, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? Now, if that board is doing something, they know that some devotee in the community or the temple is very expert in a particular area, they might call him for a specific meeting. You know, like let's say there's a devotee, he does, you know, yajnas and samskars and this and that, you know, like that. And he doesn't come, but at this point they want to do a yajna for, let's say, Janmashtami. So then they'll call him to the meeting for that aspect. And ask them, you know, what do we need? What do you think? This, that, how much time? And, you know, all these things. Otherwise, they just, I notice they have these meetings. They just tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You know, oh yeah, you can do this and do a big yajna, big yajna, yeah. Like that. And then when you start the yajna after 10 minutes, they go, how long is this going to act? You know, I mean, you know, say, I mean, so, you know, we should be done by, you know, this time and that, you know, they give you 20 minutes. And then why talk big, you know? Yeah. Oh, why do you need so much stuff? This, that, and they don't know that ghee burns, you know? Oh, wait, half a liter of ghee, is that enough? You know, for like that, we want to do a 2-hour yajna. Says, no, it's not. That'll light the lamps. You know, so you have to know what you're doing. So it has to be people that actually know and are experienced. Mm-hmm. And then you might bring them in for something, or they might be your regular people who are running, taking responsibility. You know, but the point is it can't be just someone's got something to say. And so means, yeah, he has something to say. Yeah, he comes and talks to a manager and says what he wants to say, but it doesn't mean he's part of the decision making process. You know, in the Vedic thing, they had, if somebody has complaint, they can come and air their complaint and discuss it. You know, it's like that you have the example of that time when, you know, the whole thing when Arjuna went on pilgrimage for that year. Because the Brahmin came and said, you know, these dacoits have stolen my cows. Mm-hmm. And no one's taking care of it. So he's able to come directly to the kings and say, this is going on. So Arjuna personally took care of it. You know, like that. Or you have the other one where the Brahmin comes and says all this and that, how the kings aren't protecting, you know, his sons are dying before him, you know, which means there's something wrong in the kingdom. Right? It means parents should die before the children. Children shouldn't die before the parents. They do, there's something wrong. Right? So he came and he complained, and then Arjuna took care of it and ended up going with Krishna to see Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu had taken all the kids because he wanted to see Krishna and Arjuna.
Yeah.
So that's that. You can go and you can discuss. But it doesn't mean you're part of the decision-making process. Arjuna still took care of business. Mm. He made the decision. He took care of it. This idea is I got something to say, so I should be the one making decisions. No. You're not. That's not your service. The point is Krishna gives all these services, and we're trying to please Krishna. So then why should I do someone else's service? That's what Krishna says. Don't do someone else's service.
Right.
Like yeah. That. Temple president's there. He does temple president stuff. You're not the president. You don't do that. Mm-hmm. You do what you're supposed to do. You know, see that it's Krishna conscious and this and that. If it's not or that, you can go and discuss it, why you think it should be this way or that way. And if they appreciate that, then nice. And if they don't appreciate, you still do your service. Or if you don't like that, do your service somewhere else. But the point is to always be engaged in service. Always remember, never forget. It's not about who's in control and who's this and who's got the men, who's got the money, who's got the authority, who's got the prestige. These are not our considerations. These are why we do things. These are not our motives. Our motive is pure devotional service. That means pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes. So another question that has come related to this.
Okay.
Sorry, were you going to say something else?
No.
Considering responsibility and cooperation according to the real proprietor Krishna, how does a leader see the ability in others?
He has to know, he has to be observant. So he's seen who does what, who has what nature, where they're successful, where they're not. And it's not that he just bluntly tells them, he has to also follow the etiquette and say it nicely. You know, So that's the whole thing. That's the whole point of an administration. You have to deal with that diplomacy. If that being able to, diplomacy means being able to say something nice. That's all diplomacy is. It's how, like the mother is using diplomacy to get the child to take the medicine. Does this taste bad? No, no, no. It's not. Like, you know, that's diplomacy. Because the point is the child has to take the medicine. Yeah. If you just tell them, yeah, it's disgusting, it's terrible. You know, when you take this, you feel like you're going to choke, but you better take it because if you don't, you're going to die. That's not diplomacy and that's not management. Mm-hmm. So the whole point is, yes, these things are there. Nowadays, oh, it's diplomacy. Oh, this nonsense. We just want the truth. We want straight. Truth means Krishna. Being able to tell the difference between matter and spirit, that's what Krishna says is truth. People nowadays are only interested in facts, not truth. They want to know facts because facts I can use for my own advantage. I can get political or economic advantage or social advantage by facts. But by truth, then I have to surrender to Krishna. So that's the whole thing, is that if we let all this modern methods come into our society, you know, it's like, because the thing is, they say, oh, but you know, you're only archaic. What do you mean? We're talking about Krishna's stuff is eternal. You know, people use Mahabharata to run their companies and they are successful. That's 5,000 years ago, right? Like that. They use Buddhist principles like this and that. They're successful 2,500 years ago. Sun Tzu in China, they make money, right? Now, China's making a lot of money, right? So that's 2,500 years ago, you know, and around the same time, then you're going to have all your you know, Dao and Tao and all that kind of stuff. It's also, they make money, yeah. You know, Musashi, that's 250 years ago and all the Japanese make plenty of money off of that, you know, and for a long time in Europe, Machiavelli, they made money off of it. So the whole point is these things are old systems. They work. They always work. If you're following the laws of God, they'll always work. And some have studied and identified and gotten that. I mean, Chanakya Pandit, they still use it, you know, thousands of years later. It still works today. So this idea is that it's an old idea, doesn't work. No, we have the universal. We have the up-to-date. All these other things aren't. If in accordance with the eternal, some of these things can give some interesting details that we don't know about, great. But the point is they can't teach you the principles. Because if you don't know what the principle is, they don't know. They may even be describing the principle, but they don't know that. They see it as equal with something else. So it's unclear, but they have observed. So the swan takes the water. I mean, the milk leaves the water. But we take the water and leave the milk. And then think it's going to work. And for the last 25 years, trying to use all these things, it doesn't work. So that's the whole point is you have to understand is that the hierarchy is what works. But it has to be based on Krishna consciousness, based on the standards set by Krishna. Yeah. Then it works. Prabhupada gives so much detail. You know, Prabhupada talks on all the levels of the strategy, the operational, the tactical, even the technical. He's telling little things. He's showing people how to make a chapati. Literally going in there himself, kneading the dough, rolling it out, doing all the things. You know, showing it how it puffs up when they said, no, this dough, it won't puff up. It's, you know, impossible and that. And then he'll make it puff up. So that's getting right down into the technical. Mm. So Prabhupada's shown everything. Prabhupada just said you just have to apply it. So basically fill it in. He's built the structure. We don't have to make a structure. That's the fallacy. We create the structure. No, we don't. The structure is there. Even what kind of windows to use and doors, we just have to put them in.
Yeah.
This idea, we build the structure. We decide on the doors. We decide on the windows. You know, it's like, you know, bogus. You know? There's plenty to do. This idea, unless it's completely free to speculate how I like, I'm not free. How does a classical musician, how are they expressing their own individuality by how they follow exactly every note, but just how they, what's strong, what's soft, how they do long. And then you say, wow, that's a perfect interpretation. But it sounds exactly the same as everybody else, except for some little finities that those who can appreciate can see. So the point, this whole idea is that, no, I have to be able to speculate how I like and I don't want to be controlled. To do anything, you have to control it. Like, let's say I want to do rap. I have to actually work within the context of rap. I can't do Beethoven and call it rap. You know, I can't do metal and call it pop. You know, does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that you have to, you know, grunge and call it, you know, folk. You know, it has its rules. Everything has its rules, and everybody's following rules, but they want to speculate. Today, I want to follow these rules. Oh, I don't like those rules. I want to follow those rules. But the point is no, Krishna's rules are eternal. They include everybody else's rules. Mm-hmm. We follow those. It works really nice. I mean, literally, really, really nice. Prabhupada got along with everybody, went everywhere, did everything, went nice. So you can see it works.
We have another question now from Kama Gayatri Machi.
Yes, please.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Can you please explain what are women's duties according to Varnashram?
Women's duties according to Varnashram. Well, it means if you're looking at it in a particular simple way, then Prabhupada gives, as far as I remember, it's in the Bhagavatam. I think it's Pritumar, somewhere in there. That he says that for boys, the training is to control the senses and to be sensitive to others' needs. Right? Because boys tend to just do whatever they like and not care about anybody else. So they have to control. In other words, rules are made where somebody's weak. And there's no need of rule where they're strong. And so for girls, they'll always control their senses. It means nothing just happens. They decide it's going here or there. Well, boys, they don't even understand the process. So you don't say control the senses. But for girls, then it's to be chaste and to be satisfied. Right? Because you see the guy sits in the same chair, drinks the same cup of tea, eats the same donut at the same time every day, day in, day out. You know, come back, you know, 200 years, there'll be the zombie sitting there drinking the same tea, doing the same thing like that, you know, like that. Come back after 1,000 years and they'll dig him up and like that and say, oh, see, I see the, how you say, Finlandia man, he has this cup here and there's an emptiness here in this round. They speculate what was that donut there, you know, like that. And so, yeah. So girls, they're just satisfied, you know, even if it's nothing to be satisfied with, they're still satisfied. So girls, because of the variety, they have to be satisfied. Otherwise it's unlimited what they can go for. So all the time, all the energy, all the money, everything can just disappear because of that. So they try to be satisfied, right? So these are the two main things you can say in character. And so they support you. If you are sense controlled, you can be sensitive to others' needs. Otherwise, if you're not sense controlled, you can't notice others. Same way, if the girl's not chaste, she won't be satisfied. Because chastity means she can focus in one place. Otherwise, it'll go everywhere. Will be dissatisfaction. Same way as he's sense controlled, she can be chaste. And if he's sensitive, she can be satisfied. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like that. That's on that way, on the character, the essential points. The other thing that Prabhupada mentioned in training of girls when they're small, then he said that cooking and cleaning is very important. Because two aspects are here. People may go, oh no, and this and that and all these things. But the point is everybody has to eat. Everybody wants to eat. So if you can cook nice, you have a relationship with everybody on the planet, including, you know, half the animal population, you know, because everybody wants to eat. So if you can cook nice, you know how to cook for the situation, how to serve, how to deal, all these different things. create this wonderful atmosphere. That's what holds families together. Like you see, even in the European tradition, one of the last things to go was that, you know, everybody be busy all day, but at dinner, everybody had to dress properly, sit there and eat dinner together. Then they had a strong family relationship. You break that down, then where's the family unit? There's no community in family. Everybody eats what they want, when they want, where they want. You know, the daughter's eating her room, the guy's eating, you know, guy's sitting on, of course, the same place where he was sitting with the donut and the tea, like that. He'll be eating there in front of the TV. You know, the teenage boy might be in his room, might be sitting over in the corner somewhere like that. And, you know, mother will be in the kitchen talking pajama with her friends, you know, so like this, everybody's just doing whatever they want. So when they eat together, that's what creates community. So therefore, then who's leading that sense of community? The ladies of the house. It's very essential. People don't understand that. And the point is they think it so easy. It's actually, you know, I can guarantee you in the modern society, modern context, there's more ladies that are good at professions than they are at cooking. Mm-hmm. They can't cook. It means if you got out a shotgun and pointed it at their head and say, cook this or I'm going to shoot you, they'd all end up dead. You know? And we'll just start with boiling water without burning it, you know. Nope, not going to happen. Dead. Right? So that's the thing. Is that they need to know the cooking. Otherwise, how do they know what's good food, what's refined, how to serve, what goes with what? The taste and all that. How will they be able to enjoy it? Because it said also that women appreciate food twice as much as men. Men may like it, but women is twice as much. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the other is cleaning. Unless you clean, if the environment's not clean, the mind won't be peaceful, right? The mind is expanded from the mode of goodness. So the mind to be peaceful has to be in a clean, ordered environment, you know, where things are stable. So the girl likes to, you know, bounce all off the walls and this and that and variety, but it's within a stable environment. So if it's not clean, then her mind will get disturbed, you know. The guys, somehow or another, they can sit in that funky room with the, you know, all the old pizza boxes there on the coffee table, and they don't even notice they're there, you know, where they go to put their feet on the coffee table. They just kind of move the boxes out of the way with their foot, not with their hand. Their hand's on the remote, you know, and the donut. You know, so... Right. So that's the thing, is that therefore in that environment, that's why they take care of those things. You know, and the guy, because he can be insensitive in these things and all that, he can just go out and make the money and all that and all the crazy work things. People aren't nice. People don't care. This, that, he can go out and make the money and come home. Mm-hmm. But once he comes home, he has to learn to be sensitive to others. So he's not okay at work. He doesn't need to be. But when he comes home, he has to be. Then he has relationships. So these are there. Then also Prabhupada mentioned beyond that is if they kind of have the beyond that is then according to nature. Right? So in other words, all girls should know how to cook and clean. Then according to their nature, then they learn. Someone's into music, someone's into art, someone's into business, someone's into, you know, whatever is the thing that they're into. Then they learn that. But these things they need to know just to be able to, you know, hold the family together as a community. And for it to be a peaceful, nice environment. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so the Vedic thing is not that, it's just like Prabhupada in the it's one of the chapters in the Krishna book after the wedding, then Kamsa is taking Devaki and Vasudev to Vasudev's house, you know, as the brother he's taking. And then he hears the voice about how Devaki's 8th son's going to kill him. And so then he immediately gets out his sword and all that. So then they all start using diplomacy. Right? She uses, he uses, they all use. And Prabhupada makes the point, is there, and I think some other place also. Oh no, he doesn't. She uses it when he goes to Nandagaon and brings back Subhadra. No, Yogamaya, right? And then then she uses diplomacy to try to get him not to kill the girl. Like that. And so Prabhupada makes the point. She's a Kshatriya, so she knows diplomacy. She knows all the things. But she takes care of the feminine side of the Kshatriya's duties. And the man takes care of the masculine side. So she knows Kshatriya stuff. The Brahmin women know Brahmin stuff. The Vaishya women know Vaishya stuff. You know what I'm saying? They know business. They know all that. But, you know, why should they do all that and sit down in that stinky hot, showroom all day selling saris to all those crazy women? You just sit upstairs and, cook nice snacks and enjoy life. You know? Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj.
You know, otherwise, you know, why aren't the women fighting to take out the garbage? They're personally happy to have the husband take out the garbage. You know, not equal rights. I want to take out the garbage, you know. You know, yeah, okay, great. So the whole thing is just know what the feminine nature is. It doesn't mean you can't do so many things. It's just that generally they wouldn't. So it's not that the queens couldn't run the kingdom, just they generally don't. The husband's there, why would they want to run it? But they managed the palace. Mm-hmm. Right? Devaki got 2,000 maidservants. Who manages 2,000 maidservants? Right? Devaki does. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what she got just there from her father. Then other people are giving, and so they have 10,000 maidservants. Who manages that? You have a palace. 7-story palace with thousands and thousands of maidservants and manservants and furniture and everything. Who manages that? The woman does. Because she's a Kshatriya. She knows how to manage that. And there's no rioting because she knows how to deal. She knows diplomacy. She knows when to give someone a gift or when to use Beda or Danda or Sama. She knows all those things. So that's the whole thing, is they know, but they just apply it in the field, like they'll be more comfortable at home. He's got to go out into the big bad world and all that. You know? So if you can make the home the way you like it, then what's the problem? But if there's no one there to make it, then the girls go out and get it together. Not that they can't, but it's not that you have to not be a girl to do it. You know, because if they're saying is that girls are equal to men, then why do they have to stop being girls to do men stuff? They have to be rough and ready and, you know, burp and do all that kind of stuff. You know, it's like, you know, then you're saying yourself that girls can't do this. Why can't you do it as a girl? Wasn't that one of the points of Legally Blonde? You know, as a flouncy blonde, then she's able to do everything. No? Yeah. So, that's the point. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Yeah, so it goes down. So it means each girl is going to be individual how they're going to be trained in fullness, but you start with the cooking and cleaning. And if they have that proclivity, then also sewing, because then you can take care of the cloth you have, and you can do all kinds of far out things. Because if you have to depend on tailors, it's always a bit of a trip. But if you can sew your own stuff, then you can do wild stuff. You know, it's up to your imagination and how you do and decorate, what cloth, this, what fabric. It's also just one more thing to keep the mind busy. Because with the men, you do one thing at a time. I'm at work, I do this. I'm at home, I eat my donut. You know, I do, you know, like they that kind of thing like that. The women have to have so many things going on at once. So therefore, you can be thinking about what they're eating or cooking or clothes or, you know, programs or different things like that, or, you know, outings, or, you know, so many things can be done. And then whatever the specific, you know, area of hobby or other things like that. This idea of being a housewife is a lower class thing. Who's saying that? The women are saying that. And then they're the ones saying that, you know, men and women are equal. But they're looking down on women. If a woman's a housewife, then the liberated women think she's out of it. But point, if you respect women, that's her choice. She wants to do that. Why don't you respect that? So that means they're not as liberal as they say. They're just nasty conservatives who are going against tradition. That's all. Because conservative means they can't go outside of their area. So their area of so-called liberality, they can't go outside of that. So it's just you take conservative and push it over this way. They're the same people. But they like to buy words and get all that presented. And if you point this out to them, then it's, you know, white males saying this about the women. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's all this stuff. It's politics. It's not real, you know, discussion. You know, and of course, there's a lot of untrained men who don't know how to control their senses or how to take care of the, you know, be sensitive to the needs of others. And that's why there's divorce. It comes down to those two things. You know, it's because that he controls the senses and he has sensitive to the needs of the wife and family and friends and all that. And then what's going to be the problem? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the problem? So they're not. And so that's why then the women get more agitated and want to be more independent because, you know, the men can't take care. So they'll do it themselves. You can't blame them, but it's not ideal. It's not the standard. You can't blame them for wanting to take care of their needs. But the method going about it's not the right method. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Next, we have a question from Amala Bhakta Prabhu.
Amala Bhakta. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I will read. So, how to build connection between following the rules and understand why I'm doing this? Because I can follow the rules and follow the rules and follow the rules like a robot. What should be done to understand clearly and to remember what is the purpose of this following the rules? For example, I can follow the rules because I'm scared that if I will not follow, something bad will happen. But now, how to go further and what can be next step after following out of the fear?
Yeah, so Krishna mentions the Gita that there's who follow, you know, the rules and that out of fear. There's those who follow the rules out of desire. And there's those who follow the rules out of gratefulness. Right? They understand God and what he's doing for us, and he's grateful, and therefore then they're, you know, following the rules. And of course, then the best is one who spontaneously has that affection for Krishna, and that's why they follow it. Right? So the point is that one should inquire why this rule is there, and one should also contemplate, you know, how it's working, what is it done in the context of other things you've learned in that areas. And in, you know, in the kind of general aspects, and then try to see how that fits together. That's the whole thing, because the point is that we can follow the rules, like you said, like a robot, or we can not follow the rules like a robot. Because all these modern liberal people, they're all robots and doing just exactly what a modern liberal robot has to do. They're not free and doing their own thing. You know exactly what they're going to do and what they're going to say and how they're going to get grumpy. They're a robot. You can predict it. So this idea is that following tradition is a robot and not following tradition is free thinking and all that. They're not free thinking. All those people out there yelling and screaming and all that. If you went out there, okay, you're having this Black Lives Matter kind of, you know, march on the street. Okay. You go out there, go, okay, who's heading up this thing and all that? You know, why are you guys here? We want this. We want that. Oh, so what are you trying to get? They won't know. Otherwise, it would be very clear. They come up to it and say, you know, these are our problems. We want these to be solved. And the government's smart. They would take it for granted. But no, they're just out there to just yell and scream about this and that, whatever it is. You know, there's some sentiment. They want things to go nice. They want people to behave nicely. They want the authority to behave nicely, but the point is they're acting as if you don't need police. But if you don't have police, how is it that they're able to go out and march like that? Right? So if it's not a nice society, why is it they can go out and march? Because in other places, you go out and march, they run over you with a tank, literally. So the whole point is we have to be able to appreciate that following rules is intelligent. It's called buddhi yoga. So you have to use your intelligence. So if you're not using your intelligence, don't say that you're behaving like a robot, as if the process of devotional service is faulty because you're just behaving like a robot. You're the robot. Prabhupada's not a robot. The acharyas aren't robots. Sincere followers of Prabhupada aren't robots. So we have to be very, very careful. Following tradition doesn't make you a robot. It makes you intelligent. But you should, you know why. And if you don't know why, yes, that's how culture gets lost. Like nowadays, whatever is there, the parents don't know why you do this. They just tell you because that's what we've always done, or this is our tradition. They can't explain, so then the kids don't know, so they don't follow. But that doesn't mean they're free. Now they all got to be cool and yeah, you know, like that. You know, wear their hat backwards. Or, you know, wear the latest fashion. That's a robot. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that everybody follows a tradition. You don't want to be the cool kid at school. You can only wear certain kinds of shoes, pants, shirt. You can only walk in certain ways, use certain words. That's a robot. You want to be a goth at school, you have to wear the certain clothes, talk in a certain way, certain makeup. You know, you want to be a jock at the school, you know, the gym guy, you know, or the sports guy. Then you have to do certain things and all that also. So everybody's a robot. So now it's just a matter, are you a smart robot and do things to please Krishna? You understand why you're doing things like that. But this idea that only devotees are robots and that's not actually properly. The modes of nature make you dance. That's a robot. The devotees are free. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, and I need to grasp this thing. It's a lot to me. I need to.
Okay. Process. Yeah, so that's the point. Buddhi yoga means now you've heard this, then you contemplate it and try to understand how does that work? What is it for? What's it do? How do I apply this? That's how you are not a robot. Because you take the information given by the acharyas. Then you take that, how to apply that in my life. Why is it there? And then use it. Then by doing that on a regular basis, then you'll come to understand. And then you keep doing that, then you'll realize. And then when you realize, that'll be your own value. So no robot. Okay? Very good. Hare Krishna.
Does anybody else have anything? It doesn't seem to be anything else. We've just got a few minutes left. Marge, do you have anything to say in conclusion?
Yes. See, the point of developing community is a very important thing. So when Prabhupada was in India, he started with community in the League of Devotees. Then he had the ashram they were at. But the whole idea was to develop community around that ashram, because it wasn't expected many people would move in the ashram. So his idea was that, you know, everybody's there, and then let's say you do a program at your house, 10 people come to your program, you know, they get trained with time, then those 10 people, they each have their own program, 10 people come to each of their programs, so now that's 100 people coming to programs, right? They'll come to your program, that 10 people come to your program, you know, and then they'll have their own program. Yeah. And then after some years, then people are trained, and those 10, they'll each have, now you have 1,000 people. Right? So like in 5-10 years, you have 1,000 people. Then another few years, then it'll be 10,000 people. Then it'll be 100,000 people. Right? Then 1,000,000 people. You know, all within, you know, 20 years, 25, you have like that many. That's is the whole idea. So community is a very, very important part of the, you know, the, you can say the mission of Lord Chaitanya, the movement of Lord Chaitanya. Because you see, all this means in Navadvip, everybody was community. Yeah. Like that. Now, you have temples, like in Vrindavan, you had the big temples there, and so communities revolve around temples. So it's not that, oh, we have community or we have temples. This is very narrow-minded. No, both go together. You had the community in Vrindavan, and you had the temples, the seven temples in Vrindavan. Even today, there's the seven temples. Even though everybody has a temple in their house, Prabhupada said 5,000 temples in Vrindavan, but they're still connected to those seven. When it's a big, you know, everybody will go to those temples. And so this idea that it's one or the other, this is not very complete in understanding. You have to have both. Because the temple then is the center and you can see everything going on in that. And then the community, you practice in your own environment. And then from there, you're also preaching and developing. So you have the greater community, but within that, you have little communities of everybody like that. But because it's the same standards, the same kind of understanding of Krishna consciousness, then they are all together as one great larger community. So within that, you might have smaller little areas by this preacher deals with these, that one with these, you know, like that. So the point is you can have individuality even though it's a large group. That's the beauty of the Vedic system. Both are there. Krishna is personal. And the person is the basis of the impersonal. He's expended everywhere by the impersonal, but it's still him that's expended everywhere. So we're individuals, but it doesn't mean that there can't be a huge broad thing. So the two go together. And so if we understand that Krishna is the center of that, then you can make community. But if we're trying to take it as some social, political, or economic thing and try to make community, good luck. It won't happen. But Krishna is the center, then unlimited. Prabhupada gives the example. Throw one pebble in a pond, perfect rings come out all the way across the pond. Throw in a handful, it's just all fighting with each other. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so then that's...
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay.
We had a comment from Krishna Kirti Prabhu saying, that you explain everything perfectly for him.
Okay, well, that's nice.
So thank you very much for your time today. Okay. And thank you very much to all the devotees who attended. There's like 20 devotees online.
Okay, very nice, very nice.
Thank you very much. And then also tomorrow there will be another two sessions, which will be two of the teachers from the Bhaktivedanta Academy, both Maharaj disciples. His Holiness Bhakti Arjava Prithivardhana Swami and also Subhakshana Prabhu as well. So thank you, Maharaj. Please accept our obeisances.
Jai Ho. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Ho.
His Holiness Bhakti Vidyapurna Swami Ki Jai.